Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James, and before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind-the-scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Flying high above the city, Lego Batman surveils for any crime so that he can dish out some sweet, sweet justice. A blip from his back computer alerts him suddenly that a temporal anomaly has been discovered, and he swoops down to investigate. It is then that he sees this anomaly in the form of a green, big-headed guy wearing a bright yellow suit.
I'm here as a representative of this universe to tell you to go back where you came from.
Batman snarls at the dimensional intruder. Oh my, this version of you it's just plain xenophobic. How gauche. The mask lashes back out.
Oh, don't make me make you. I don't want to have to make you.
Oh, I hate to be the one to let a party down, but I'm afraid that, yeah, you're gonna have to make me. And reality isn't ready for what comes next. It's Bruce versus Stanley. It's Dark Knight versus Big Head. It's Lego Batman versus The Mask. Today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Ray Stekanis. Today's matchup pits two of the most outrageous characters possibly ever in movie history. In one corner, you have The Mask, a zany and unpredictable character who gains cartoon-like superpowers from a magical mask. And in the other corner, you have Lego Batman, a comically brooding and self-important version of the iconic superhero known for his exaggerated loneliness and his quest to be the best at everything in his blocky Lego universe. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed. And you know what? I knew this would happen. I didn't find any evidence, no evidence whatsoever, of this exact battle being discussed ever before, which means, yet again, the Who Would Win show brings you, the Legion of Audience, a premier, never-before-discussed geek culture battle. You're welcome. Ray, what are your thoughts on today's matchup?
I am fascinated and shocked that we actually found a version of Batman for you to rep that you have somehow never done on the show before. What is this, 19 times you've repped Batman on the show? This is outrageous.
Listen, you do what you know, Ray Stekanis.
I mean, facts.
You love Burger King. You love Pepsi Max. I love Batman. And by the way, this version of Batman, the Lego Batman, especially from the Lego Batman film, this is my top five. He's in my top five of all versions of Batman.
It's true.
I can't believe it. This matchup, when it went to the production team, Ray, you know this, I wasn't necessarily feeling it. I had never seen the Lego Batman film before. I saw it, and I'm like, what the heck? Why did it take me forever to watch this masterpiece? I mean, you got The Godfather, right? And then you have, I don't know, some other film. And then you have Lego Batman taking its rightful place. This movie's fantastic. I can't wait. Look, when you have two zany characters like Lego Batman and The Mask, right, with seemingly, I don't know, limitless control of themselves within their own universes, you need a judge who can decipher the rules, see beyond the obvious, someone who puts their very life and soul into all things related to geek culture. And that's exactly who we have as a judge for today's episode. Making their first appearance on the Who Would Win show, it's the owner of Say Word, the number one geek nostalgia hub of greater Milwaukee, it's Benny Trelongo. Benny, welcome to Who Would Win.
Yo, how is it going, you guys? I am absolutely stoked to be here. It is a pleasure to be on the Who Would Win show. I'm even more excited for these two characters. I'm excited to see what we have in store.
You know, Benny, I got to tell you, I was so appreciative when you reached out to the Who Would Win show via Instagram of all social media platforms. You immediately came across as this awesome human being, tons of knowledge. I love everything about Sayward, by the way. So before we get into today's episode, tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, what Say Word is all about.
Say Word is a store in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where we do everything geek culture, nostalgia based, anything that makes you feel great that reminds you of your childhood. We specialize in stuff from the early 80s to the mid 2000s, clothing, toys, video games, comic books, you know, a little bit of everything, something for everyone. We carry something that I guarantee you, you either wanted or had in your bedroom when you were a child. So it is definitely a place, even if you're not in the market to purchase, to simply walk through and explore and reminisce. Everyone and anyone is always welcome in our doors.
I love it. You know, not to let the cat out of the bag too early, but Legion of Audience, our faithful fan base, there is a collaboration of sorts happening between the Who Would Win show and Say Word. I'm not going to kind of reveal any more. Just stay tuned because your mind will be blown about what's about to be made available to the world.
Look, thanks to this collaboration. If it's not Almighty Ray action figures, we're all rioting.
That can be done. That can be done. It wouldn't be the first time that we've made something like that.
So here's the deal. I'm going to say right now, Legion of Audience, I'm not really talking to you. I'm talking to the Rainiacs. I'm talking to the Awkward Allies. I'm talking about the smart people who listen to this show, the 5%ers. You go online and you demand that Say Word brings to you a bigger-than-life version of the Almighty Ray action figure. It's what you've needed. It's what you've wanted. It would sell in the literal millions. We'll all make a pretty penny.
You know, the cool thing is all you have to do is take, like, a Shrek Funko Pop and just remove the head and put on, like, you know, just 3D print another kind of head, and you have the Ray action figure right there.
How dare
you? I'm just saying it's an easy sell. It's right there. All right, look, we have an incredible episode for you. We've got a geek culture mastermind on the show in Benny Trelongo with Say Word, of course. I don't know. I think this episode is going to be absolutely insane. With all that being said, Ray, please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing DC Comics' Lego movie version, the hero who built his own Batcave brick by brick, literally Lego Batman. And representing Dark Horse Comics, the anti-hero who's the Ipkiss of death to all those who oppose him, The Mask.
Well done, Ray. Now, before we go any further, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater is going to make 3 points. And keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed. And the debater has to stay within the confines of the character itself. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal, and with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, you can always check out all the rules on our website at www.whowouldwinshow.tv. And before we get started, don't forget to visit the official Who Would Win store. Visit www.whowouldwinstore.com to get your hands on some great Who Would Win shirts and merch. And now, let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for The Mask.
The Mask is a supernatural mask that, when worn, offers incredible powers at the cost of the wearer's sanity. They were created by Mike Richardson and Mark Badger and first appeared in Dark Horse Presents number 10 back in 1987. The Mask is an interesting work because whenever a character puts it on, they lose all social and moral inhibitions and gain reality-bending powers. This dynamic change in everything causes everyone who gives it a go to either become a psychopathic villain or at the very least a murderous anti-hero, regardless of who they were before they put it on. It was originally published by Dark Horse Comics. The Mask is a series known for its over-the-top violence and outrageous sense of humor. And it might surprise fans of the Jim Carrey movie, based on the comics, that in the original series, Stanley Ipkiss has a body count up in the hundreds. Fun fact, while we will be talking about the comic book version of The Mask today, See, I said it this week. It bears mentioning that the movie The Mask was actually written for actor Jim Carrey from the ground up. And with Carrey's immense physical abilities, he actually saved the filmmakers over $1 million in special effects with just the things he could do naturally with his own face and body. Also, this was Cameron Diaz's first film, but that's, quite frankly, less interesting. Anyway, that is The Mask.
Very cool. Here are the details for Lego Batman. Now, Lego Batman first popped onto the scene in 2006 as part of the Lego Batman toy series and really stole the spotlight in the Lego Movie in 2014. This version of the beloved DC Comics superhero was a joint creation by the folks at Lego, Warner Brothers, and DC Comics. They reimagined Batman with a fun twist, keeping his classic brooding vibe but adding a playful, self-deprecating humor that fans of all ages adore. Then came the Lego Batman Movie in 2017, where Lego Batman, voiced by the hilarious Will Arnett, shines as a dramatic, overly confident hero who's actually pretty lonely. The movie shows him learning to open up and work with others like Robin, Batgirl, and Alfred, his loyal butler. It's a fun, action-packed film that doesn't skimp on laughs or heart, highlighting the importance of friendship and family in Batman's world. And here's an interesting fact about the Lego Batman movie. Did you know that the Lego Batman movie corrected something that happened in the original Batman films from 1989? It's true, kind of, in a really roundabout way. Here's the deal. Many celebrated actors played characters within the film, with many portraying villains. I'm, of course, talking about Lego, the Lego Batman movie. If you listen closely, the voice of the villainous Two-Face may seem somewhat familiar, because it should. Two-Face was played by the brilliant Billy Dee Williams. And as we all know, Billy Dee Williams, a.k.a. Lando Calrissian, portrayed Harvey Dent in the original 1989 Batman film and was supposed to naturally become Two-Face in a next movie, but it never happened as he was replaced by Tommy Lee Jones. Evidently, the director of the Batman Lego movie felt he needed Lando Calrissian back to correct this injustice and hired Billy Dee Williams to perfectly bring the character of Two-Face to life in a Batman film. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Benny, do you have any questions before we get started?
The only question I have, which doesn't need to be answered now, answer it throughout the points. The only thing I'm looking for is right off the bat, I need the size difference addressed. That's all I'm looking for. It's been bothering me since you started talking. Can you help me out there?
Two things. First off, I didn't know that Billy Dee Williams thing, and that is one of the most amazing fun facts in show history. I loved it. I was pumping my fists over here with excitement. Two, we have decided to normalize their size for the purposes of this battle. So we could put Lego Batman at 6 feet. I will explain why that. Yeah, I mean, both of them are roughly the same height. That's what we're going to go with right there.
Okay, perfect.
You know, roughly the same height. I'm also going to explain through my points why that does not matter at all.
Okay, beautiful. That is all I needed because it was the only thing that hit me in the brain as soon as you told me the two guys. Other than that, I am buckled in and ready for this matchup.
I love it. All right, let's get this party started. Ray, hit us with your point number one.
Point number one for The Mask. I'm going to bring up his durability, his ability to take damage, take hits. He has a massive amount of durability, maybe more so than any other character that I've done on the show, and I know what I'm saying when I say that. First off, if you get hurt and you're not wearing the mask and you are injured, you're at death's door, you have whatever problem with you, and you put on the mask, it will immediately heal all of your wounds. You will be healed up to 100% immediately. Not just that, any wounds that you sustain while wearing the mask potentially go away the second that you remove the mask, which you can do anytime by yourself. You choose to take off the mask, you choose to put on the mask. That is purely up to you. It turns out it cannot be removed by force. Anybody who tries to remove the mask from you will be in for a bad time of it. Whether the mask will have automatic defenses or you just plain will not be able to get it off, it has to be a conscious choice by the person who is wearing it. Now, some of the things that you're able to do when you have the mask on, remember, you have Toon Force, you have reality bending. We'll get in more of that later, but in the form of defense, it allows you to get all of your limbs chopped off, and then you can just take them and slap them back onto yourself again. No problem whatsoever. If you get your arm cut off, you just pick it up, pop it right back into place, you're looking great. You can get flattened like from a steamroller and come back no problem whatsoever. In fact, stretchy powers. You gain stretchy powers when pulled. If somebody at one point, which they did in the comics, tried to grab the person by the face, by the mask, and try to pull it off, and then they set up an elaborate thing, the neck just stretched like 10 feet long, not allowing for the mask to be pulled off. That's the kind of defense we're talking here, like a Plastic Man level of just bouncing attacks back off of yourself. And he can take massive blunt force trauma as well. We've seen the mask get smashed through walls, through cars, through buildings. No problem. We saw the mask get hit in the head with a hammer. We've seen the mask get hit in the head with a mace, full on by a strong character. No problem. In fact, he once fought Lobo in a very, very wild crossover, took an absolute beating, an absolute throttling, and came back with no problem at all. Plus, you can cut off his head. Again, no big deal. Yeah, Lobo did it. Didn't stop him whatsoever. We've seen the mask get shot by like 24 guys with shotguns, rifles, pistols, everything simultaneously. And he just, when the dust settled, it was like that moment in Pulp Fiction when Samuel L. Jackson and John Travolta were like, none of them hit me. No problem whatsoever. A guy shot him with a pistol, 6 bullets through the brain. We saw the bullets come out the back of his head. He went down and immediately popped right back up again about 5 seconds later, no worse for wear, with the holes still in his head. Someone tried to inject him with lethal poison. Didn't work. Somebody tried electrocuting him with massive amounts of voltage. Did not work. He had his face burned off by lasers. You'd think with the way the mask works, that would bring him down. It did nothing whatsoever. He just had a burned face and he wrecked people. The whole deal about this battle to start with is I can't think of a single thing that Batman's going to do that's possibly going to hurt the mask enough that it would keep him down for 2 minutes or more. We've just never seen it happen before. And that's my point number one.
So many great reasons to love the mask, Ray. I think you did a great job of explaining some of them. Now, what's really interesting to me is that the user of the mask is the one who can voluntarily or through being convinced remove the mask themselves. That's interesting because that indicates that if you play a mind game with the mask, that might be the vulnerability. In fact, I do think that's one of the major vulnerabilities of this character. And Lego Batman is someone who played mind games with the Joker and won those mind games with the Joker. If anyone can play that mind game with the mask and convince the mask to remove it, it's Lego Batman. On top of that, Lego Batman, and this one's a little questionable, so I don't mind if you push back on this one, but I do believe Batmite, that fifth dimensional reality warping creature, I believe it's from the fifth dimension, the same place where Mrs. Pitalik is from, that person who always kind of, irritates Superman. So, the fifth dimensional imp, Batmite, and the mask, they're not horribly dissimilar in terms of power sets and crazy capabilities. I don't think the mask is going to be that much of a surprising character to the Batman. I think Batman's going to be like, wow, that's really cool, but it's nothing he hasn't seen before, especially with his rogues gallery. Now, let me get to my point number one. For my point number one, in the Lego Batman movie, let's just talk about this. The Lego Batman showcases a lot of abilities. Look, I get a lot of it's comedic and exaggerated, in terms of the nature of the Lego universe. But here's the thing. His abilities actually align with, I hate to say it, superpowers. I do believe Lego Batman has superpowers that just aren't talked about because what he's doing in this movie, there's no other, literally no other logical explanation. And that's what I do with any of these characters. I apply logic to them. Okay, in terms of superpowers, he's got super strength. Look, we see this on multiple occasions. He can single-handedly take on large groups of enemies. He throws them around. He smashes their vehicles with ease. He lifts and moves objects that are insanely larger and heavier than himself. And he moves massive pieces of debris that are falling on him where they just needs to push out of the way. That is super strength in a nutshell. He's got super agility. Look, we see him jumping 30 to 40 feet in the air as he's flipping around midair. By the way, he's flipping around midair and changes direction while he's in air. I don't think he's got the power of flight, but I'm not saying he doesn't have the power to be able to move in air. He's got, what else? Superhuman reflexes. Look, throughout the movie, this is really cool. Batman reacts to danger with lightning fast reflexes. It's almost like he's got like a spider sense or something's going on. A great example is during the opening battle scene where he manages to avoid gunfire, explosions, punches in a matter of split seconds. And this just showcases his ability to respond instantaneously to threats. It's almost like he was written that way, but I don't know what's happening. He's, of course, got super intelligence. Look, he displays a high level intelligence. He's got strategic thinking. He can quickly devise complex plans. He's building sophisticated gadgets and vehicles. His ability to outthink his opponents is seen. We see him do this when he plans the infiltration of Arkham Asylum to prevent the Joker from doing whatever scheme he's trying to do. He's super durable, by the way. I think this guy's invulnerable. Look, it's another one of his kind of traits. He withstands like tremendous impacts. We see him fall from great heights and take explosions with no significant harm whatsoever. A key moment about this, for his durability, he survives a crash and collisions, throughout these high speed chases and battles with no sign of injury whatsoever. By the way, Batman also has super stamina in that he never gets tired. We never see him breathing hard. He's flipping around, climbing, fighting at an insane pace, and he's just as full of energy at the last punch as he was at the first one. Oh, but there's more. Batman is also a master of disguise, and he can duplicate the height and weight of pretty much anyone within the Lego universe. It's crazy. We saw this when he disguised himself as the mayor of Gotham. Everyone was fooled. Commissioner Gordon, the Gotham police who work with the mayor all the time, and the Joker. And then all of a sudden, Batman reveals that he's actually the mayor, this woman with blonde hair, and everyone was fooled. I actually think he might be a shapeshifter. I have no evidence to tell me otherwise because he's that good. Look, that's not even including his fighting ability. Look, to say this might be the best fighting version of Batman we've ever seen, maybe quite the understatement. In his first big fight of the movie, check this out, Batman beat the following supervillains. I gotta take a deep breath for this one. He beat Bane, Captain Boomerang, The Calculator, don't know what he does, Calendar Man, guess he likes calendars, Catman, Catwoman, Clayface, Clock King, Condiment King, he loves condiments, Crazy Quilt, he loves quilts, Dr. Phosphorus, that's dangerous by the way, Egghead, don't know, Eraser, Gentleman Ghost, Harley Quinn, Hench Penguins, those are like a lot of penguins that the Penguin has, The Penguin, Hugo Strange, The Joker, The Kabuki Twins, don't know what they do, Killer Croc, Killer Moth, King Tut, Kite Man, Magpie, Man-Bat, Marge Harriet, Mime, Mr. Freeze, The Mutant Leader, Orca, The Penguin, of course, Poison Ivy, Polka Dot Man, The Riddler, Scarecrow, Tarantula, who's a Spider-Man type of variant, Two-Face, Zebra Man, and the Zodiac Master. Look, even if it was only Bane, Killer Croc, Man-Bat, Mr. Freeze, Poison Ivy, Harley Quinn, and the Joker, it would be a very crazy impressive feat. But add in 34 additional supervillains like the Condiment King, very dangerous, all while Batman is smiling and singing the epic Lego Batman theme song, which is now my theme song, and then defusing a bomb underwater that was going to destroy Gotham City, doing that all at the same time. Look, it's safe to say that Batman isn't just the greatest superhero of all time. He may be the greatest superpowered version of Batman of all time. All of that is my point number one.
All right, absolutely. Look, this is a phenomenal version of Batman. The fighting ability, he definitely has some great fighting ability. I do think a lot of it is played up for comedy, but that doesn't matter. A lot of what the mask does, I'll say, is also played up for comedy, except the violence goes to a whole other level. Now, talking about mind games, I see what you're going to try to work in here, and I can already see your plan ahead, so I'm going to stop you right now. Lego Batman was able to convince Lego Joker to do things that he wouldn't do. That was with an insane amount of intense previous knowledge, and the fact that the Joker, in this universe especially, needs Batman in his life in order to keep going emotionally. The mask does not have those same kind of ties, nor would the Batman necessarily in this version know who the mask is to even worry about it. Hey, in that Batman mask crossover, the Joker actually got the mask on. He was the one wearing the mask that was the mask, and it caused Batman a lot of trouble. But you notice Joker never quite kills Batman, even when he has the chance to. I know there are some versions. Don't quote me on that. The other thing is Mr. Mixoplizix, if that's how you in fact pronounce it. I agree, they both have similar reality warping powers, but the mask is so much more violent than Mr. Mixoplizix is. He's not there to cause trouble. He's there to mess around with people. The mask is there to get things done and take people out. Two very different characters. And you talked about disguises. The mask with his, he actually has shape-shifting abilities and can impersonate anybody. So don't even bring to me this whole, I love the disguise version of Lego Batman. It's phenomenal, but let's not pretend that any of that's going to work on the mask, who can break the fourth wall and who knows what's up.
I love this battle. I love this battle. This is what this show is all about. Let's see what the judge has to say. Benny, look, you've heard one point from both Ray and myself. Where's your head at so far with how this battle is going?
All right. So I got notes and questions for both of you. I'll try and blaze through them as quick as possible. We'll start with Ray. Ray, I loved everything you said. I'm kind of getting this like Bugs Bunny, Dr. Fate kind of vibe that you were like kind of spitting with, like the helmet and the healing powers. He's safe when he has it, the insane durability. The only question I have for you, Ray, is I'm seeing that he can't necessarily be hurt, but is there any history of him being contained to where he's been maybe held in place at all that you know of, or yeah, is he pretty fluid to break out of that kind of situation as well?
Granted that he has shape-shifting abilities, it's really hard to kind of pin him down. I was not able to find a specific version or a moment when he was being like constricted in some way that he couldn't get out of. Again, because he could warp reality. He could turn ropes into snakes and throw them off of him if he wants to. I would think that if that did happen in comics, and I'm just theorizing here, that it was because he allowed it to happen or wanted it to happen, because I don't see any real way that this character could be just contained by a prison cell or what have you.
Got you. Okay, perfect. Now, sliding over to you, James, I will say you compared, his experience with Batmite, but now I don't have a ton of knowledge with it, but I always felt like Batman kind of struggled with Batmite. He hated the super cartoony over, you know, craziness. It was kind of hard for him to struggle. So I don't know if that necessarily helps him, but this is a different version of him who seems a lot more cartoony. You said he's invincible from as far as you could see. Now, I'll be honest, I have not seen the Lego Batman movie. I've seen the Lego movie, but not the Batman one. Is there any incidences of him coming apart, like an arm popping out or like his legs coming disconnected in the movie at all?
The only thing that ever comes off any of the characters is, I believe both, and this is horrible, I believe both Batman and Robin at separate times remove their pants, but their legs are still on. That's it.
Okay.
Benny, this makes me question why you're asking me to tell you about pant removal of a kid's movie. But, you know, you do you. Go ahead.
You know, I just need to know how invincible we're talking here.
It's more by evidence, because there's nothing. He literally does not get hurt, does he tire, which is weird, because if you think it's Batman, part of what we love about Batman is his struggle and how he overcomes that struggle. The only struggle he overcomes is an emotional one, which he does beautifully. So I'm not really sure what's happening with this version of Batman, which just makes me like it that much more.
Okay. I'm loving everything I'm hearing so far. I'm loving the strength from Batman. I'm loving the durability and feats of withstanding serious brutality on the mask side. Yeah, I hate to be that person to say it's a tie right now, but I'm kind of torn right in the middle after point number one.
I mean, we've been here before. This is what Ray and I do so beautifully. Don't worry about it, because things are about to get really good. This battle's heating up. We'll be right back for point number two.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
And we're back. Ray, let's see what you got. Hit us with your point number two.
Point number two for the mask. I am going to talk about the ultra violence of the character, because if there was a character that could make Lego Batman bleed, I do have to believe the mask is that character. Now, if you've seen the Jim Carrey movie from 1994, I believe, what you'll see is a guy who loves to like grab a mallet and hit a guy and send him flying. And it's a lot of cartoony kind of stuff in there. Not a lot of real killing that happens in the comic books. as I mentioned before, it is a very different thing. He is killing people right and left because without the inhibitions, without the social questioning that goes into it, he is just mowing through people who stand in his way right and left, especially, you know, in a fight-based scenario. So some of the things that he has done that are ultra-violent in the comics, he once grabbed a guy by the hair who was standing in front of him. He moved really fast, grabbed the guy by the hair, and started whipping him around like a bola and started slapping around all of the other guys and sent every single person around him flying after grabbing a guy by the hair. And you know, if there's a chance where the guy I'm repping grabs a dude and throws him into another dude, I'm gonna be mentioning it on the show. And that happened here. One wild thing that happened, and I didn't get a lot of I saw this only in a scan, so I'm not sure how we got there. But one time, the mask was dressed like Elvis Presley, and he decided he was going to pick up a car on the street, and then literally just picked it up and flew away with it. He just flew through the air dressed as Elvis holding a car. I got no other reference point than that, but that is crazy to me. It's crazy strength. It's crazy bizarreness. And that's who the mask is. Obviously, if you put a physical obstacle in front of him, whether it be a door, a wall, what have you, he will smash through it to pieces. Whether he just runs through it as if it's not even there, or he slashes it down and keeps on going, he does it. Another thing that the mask does a lot, like a disturbing amount, is he bites pieces off of human beings. He likes to bite. He's a biter, and he bites people. He bites their fingers off at some point, sure. He'll bite heads off. He'll bite entire bodies. He'll bite pieces. One time, he bit off a guy's fingers and then spit them back at the guy like they were bullets, and he killed the dude just like that. No problem whatsoever. It's crazy. And the mask is super strong. I appreciate that Lego Batman has some sort of strength about him. I don't think it's on a level of the mask, because when the mask hits people, they go flying into another zip code over and over and over again, if that's what he wants to do. One time, it was exciting. He was riding on one of these police vehicles, like a hover car kind of a thing, and he just took his arm and sliced off the front of it and absolutely just took it down. Dropped the entire vehicle by slicing off. If you could slice off the front of a car with your arm, you're doing something right in a combat sense. One time he took a hammer and he hit a guy in the top of the head and drove him all the way so deep into the ground that only his hands were sticking up afterwards. Again, I don't know what Batman comes back from that if that happens to him. And he also loves cutting off heads. And if there's one thing I know about Lego characters, those heads will come off easily. You just twist them a little bit and they pop right off. You can put another head on there, a cape, whatever you like. One time he pulled out an axe, he conjured it, and then he conjured himself to be dressed like Paul Bunyan, the famed character from lore, and he chopped down the Space Needle in Seattle. I'd like to see Lego Batman chop down the Space Needle with an axe. I don't think he can do it. And my final point that was crazy to me, this giant, tanked up, muscle-bound, mutant alien tried to jump on him from behind, like jump up in the air and come down on his head. The mask swiveled his head around 180, grew it enormously sized, unhinged his jaw, and ate the guy. He just ate him. I'm sorry, but, you know, constriction and incapacitation is one thing, but when you can just straight up eat your opponent in one bite and hold him for 2 minutes if you want to, I think he got a good chance to win. And the mask has done all of these things and more. Lego Batman is phenomenal, but I think the mask is a little bit too much to overwhelm him in this case, and that's my point number two.
Look, again, can't push back on what you're saying in terms of how great the mask is. What I can do is talk about how great Batman is in comparison. You know, say the mask, you know, chopped the Space Needle with an axe. Well, Batman literally reconnected all of Gotham, this massive island, using his abs. Think that kind of takes care of that. A door, a wall that the mask breaks through. Batman smashes through all of that with these. There's literally no Lego construct that Batman can't just absolutely destroy super easily. If Batman does get hit in one point of the Lego Batman film, Batman gets hit by King Kong, is sent flying. He just bounces off the side of the building, comes back, and then hits King Kong back. It's pretty cool. He didn't feel any pain. He was just good to go. Popping heads off in Lego. Look, Ray, you're a monster for bringing that up. Ray did that as a kid all the time with his Legos, where he popped their heads off. By Legos, I mean the neighborhood squirrels that Ray captured. Look, let me get to my point number two. And for my point number two, let's talk about Batman's gadgets and his tech. Now, let's start off with his batarangs. We got to. These are Lego Batman's go-to throwing weapons shaped like bats. They're incredibly versatile in the movie, used for everything from combat to interacting with technology. He's a master of throwing them. He can throw them, hit people, hit, throw them and turn something on. Whatever you need him to do, he's going to do with it. Of course, he's got his grappling gun. This is a staple in Batman's arsenal, allowing him to swing across Gotham or reach high places. And he travels literally at super speed, gets pulled at such a rate that someone's body would get torn in half, but he's absolutely fine with it because he's Batman. It's really, really cool. And by the way, the Lego version often features exaggeratedly long ropes and very strong hooks that can support not only Batman, but sometimes other characters or really heavy objects. He's got smoke bombs. He's a master at this. They're used for making quick escapes or dramatic entrances, and these smoke bombs create a thick, obscuring fog. We know what he's done for this, you know, for a million times. He's got his Bat merch gun. Yes, I said it. A Bat merch gun. A humorous addition, of course. This gun shoots out merchandise like t-shirts, mugs, a mask, everything you need. He shoots it out. This Bat merch is of such high quality. It will be of similar high-level quality as to the Who Would Win merch Say Word will be creating in our collaboration. Just saying, it's a thing. He's got a scanner, and this gadget's used for detective work. It's capable of scanning scenes, analyzing evidence almost instantaneously. It's kind of like the Apple Vision Pro, except a lot cooler looking, and it can analyze anything. Just tell Batman what's up. He's got a net launcher. Don't think that's going to work against the mask. I actually do agree with Ray's point. It's going to be hard to kind of hold him down, but I'd love to see him use it at least for a second. He's also got a voice modulator that he uses to alter his voice, make it sound even more dramatically deep and heroic. Not that that's going to help him. I just like the fact he's got it. Then there's Batman's trusty sidekick called Pewter. Now, Ray, Pewter is short for computer.
Oh, and Pewter's, crap. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, sometimes I got to talk slower. I got to add a little bit of an explanation for it. It's all good. Pewter is Batman's highly advanced artificial intelligence system. This provides technical support and assistance for Batman. That means, hey, what's going on with the Joker? What's going on over here? How do we get over here? Pewter is going to have an answer for it. Now, let me walk you through some of the cool things Pewter can do. Pewter is set up, of course, for voice commands and chats. Batman just talks to it like it's another person, asking questions or giving commands, and Pewter responds right back. It handles driving duties. Need the Batmobile or Batwing? No problem. Pewter can get these ready and rolling or flying remotely. It's like having an extra pair of hands that can fly. It's also a great detective helper. I mentioned that before. Whether it's pulling up, I don't know, data on Gotham's villains, analyzing crime scene data, whatever it is, Pewter is going to help Batman piece together the puzzles he faces every night and figuring out what the villains and superpowered villains are going to be doing. It's also there for emotional support because, believe it or not, Pewter sometimes chips in with some cool, you know, advice or say, hey, don't worry about it, you're going to be okay. It's got a bit of a personality. It makes those interactions really funny, all while keeping Batman focused on what he has to do. And most importantly, not really, but it's a cool thing. It's also a great DJ when it's time to just chill out. Of course, Pewter can play some great movies, starter movies, some music. Remember, Pewter created the music for Batman's first epic fight scene, which pumped up Batman to like a Dragon Ball Z Super Saiyan level. Like I do, you know, I get pumped up when I listen to crazy music at the gym. Ray, a gym is where people go and do something called working out. More on that later. Last but not least, there's Batman's vehicles. There's the Batmobile. Transforms from a sleek car to a flying vehicle or even a submarine. It's outfitted with like a ton of weapons. And if he needs weapons, he'll build them on the spot because that's what he'll do. He's got the Batwing. That's his high-tech airplane and jet. It's also got advanced weaponry for air-to-ground combat. He's got the Scuttler. I love this thing. It's a robotic spider-like vehicle that can walk and climb walls because I don't know why Batman needs it, but it's a thing. And Batman uses it to rescue civilians, navigate terrains that are, I guess, difficult for his other vehicles, wherever they are. It's like a giant mechanical bat with grappling arms. I'm not even going to mention the speed wagon. I guess it's REO speed, whatever it is. It's a thing. But he's also got the Nightcrawler. I love that. And in a pinch, Batman uses a tank-like vehicle, which can navigate over rough terrain. Look, he's not going to need the Nightcrawler in this fight against the mask. It's just a fun thing to say. Look, Batman can either ask Pewter to summon the vehicles, or Pewter will summon it if he anticipates Batman's going to need them. This is the cool thing about Pewter, the back gadgets and everything. It's an extra set of armor. It's an extra set of eyes. It's an extra set of ridiculousness that's going to protect Batman and also go on the offensive on his behalf, where all of a sudden, it's like he's summoning this AI tech magic at his disposal that he has a great relationship with. Tech, advanced AI, look, insanely powerful weapons. This is crazy. All of that is my point number two.
Okay, yeah. I like a lot of what you said right there, James, even if it didn't make a lot of sense to me. Like, you talk about eyes. That's great. One time the mask took his eyes out of his head, loaded them into a shotgun, and shot them at a guy. And then because he had his eyes as the bullets, they were able to turn corners. He was able to use POV mode to track the guy down around corners and blow him up. Like, that's who the mask is, you know? And you talk about Lego constructs. I think it's cool that Batman can break down the doors and the walls of the Lego universe, until you consider the fact that Lego constructs are just made of Legos, literally designed to be disassembled by children. Makes it a little bit less exciting than what you talked about there. You know, I will say that the mask and Batman have met in a crossover before, and an exciting thing, the mask dressed himself like Superman, flew through the air, caught up to the Batplane, and then started ripping pieces off of it in midair. That version of Batman just ejected because he knew it was over at that point. There was no messing with the mask at that point. And a merch gun. I'm glad you... I mean, look, that was purely to get on the good side of our judge, and no other reason, James. I understand why you did it. I don't think a merch gun is going to win this battle. And the last thing, even Lego Batman, if you look at some of how he scales, he's still peak human. He's Lego Force, and I love this. I just learned this. There's Toon Force, and then there's Lego Force, which is Toon Force in the Lego universe, but really only applies to Lego-based physics, which is really interesting. Not quite as powerful as Toon Force, but it is its own thing that is powerful. Don't get me wrong. But Lego Batman is peak human in his universe. The mask is super powered in every universe.
Interesting stuff. I'll be talking a lot more about the power of the Lego Force in my point number three, of course. Spoilers ahead. But, you know, we're at the turning point. Benny, you've had a moment to ponder 2 points from both Ray and myself. Who do you think is ahead? And what does the other side have to do to pull out the victory?
All right. I'm going back to my notes because I'm a writer, so I want to make sure I go back. So we'll start with James this time. I like it's Batman, so obviously lots of toys, lots of gadgets. Does pewter count as outside interference or no? Does that count as like with, you know, Bruce and Terry with the voice in his head? Is, you know, is it allowed? Is that interference? Like, what are we?
Sure. So I still think, by the way, you're talking about the classic episode of Batman Beyond versus Daredevil, which I lost because someone thought having Bruce Wayne in his head is out of it. Here's
correctly.
The thing. The AI is with every piece of tech that Batman has. Everything.
Okay.
He's got it in his suit, his belt.
Yep.
It goes everywhere. Yeah, it's like Ray Sicanus when I have donuts.
Yeah.
You're not getting rid of him.
Just don't ask pewter to draw human hands.
Yeah, that's fair. Alrighty. Well, then, I guess the only thing... Oh, wait, one more question. I'm sorry. How long does it take Lego Batman to build stuff? Like, I know, obviously, it depends on the build, but it seems he can build it really quickly if he's in the situation. He's got to throw something together. How long is it taking him to throw something together?
Literally less than a second. I will say that pewter might take 2 seconds to do it, but Batman's just throwing it together in a second, which also lends evidence to the fact that Batman, the Lego Batman version, actually is super powered.
Okay. Then the only thing I'm looking for, point number three, the only question is, how does Lego Batman counter the mask's sheer brutality? And what does he have to penetrate this insane durability that Ray keeps referencing? So now moving over to the mask, you know, we obviously have to talk Jim Carrey. We've mentioned him a couple times now. I may be wrong, but I think he, a little fun fact, 1994, he's the only comedian to star in 2 number one movies in a year with Ace Ventura and The Mask. I think that's right.
The thing that I read, and I have to check my numbers on it, it turned out it was not 2, but 3 number one comedies, because Dumb and Dumber came out later that year.
Okay, yeah, I think Dumb and Dumber came out around Christmas. Okay, crazy. Sorry, I just am a big Jim Carrey guy.
He's amazing. So.
Okay, ultra-violent mask. You said something in there that really, really I liked, and it was the biting. The biting is a big, big thing for me, and I will just see what you guys do with that in point three before I go any deeper into that. It seems like the mask has a crazy amount of adaptability. The only thing that I'm looking for from the mask, I've heard he's durable, I've heard he can do all these things, but what specifically are we going to see from the mask to get the win over Batman? How is he going to actually knock him out, put him down? Because no matter what version, it's Batman. It's not going to be an easy feat. despite the win-loss record on the show. I want to see something from both as to who swings that final haymaker to really put that person out, because both of these contestants seem to be extremely durable, and it's going to take something maybe a little bit, obviously, kooky, special to them and their world as to how they're going to knock the other one out. But I'm loving it. I'm loving it, you guys.
Very cool. This is why I had a funny feeling you would be an incredible judge for the Who Would Win show. We have two great characters. Ray's doing a great job with the mask. I'm absolutely killing it with Lego Batman, by the way, if I do say so myself. Again, this battle is going to places we've never seen before. Stay tuned. We'll be right back for point number three. And we're back. Ray, it's now or never. Hit us with your point number three.
Point number three, I want to talk about the reality warping and Toon Force and give it its own section, because it's worth mentioning. You say, what is the mask going to do? The question is, what won't the mask do? Because here are some examples of crazy places he's taken it. First off, let's talk about the shape-shifting. I mentioned before that he has the stretchy powers. He can disguise himself as anyone. So imagine yourself like the most pumped-up version of Reed Richards or Plastic Man, and he is bringing that level of stretchiness to the table. One of my favorite moments happened to the Lobo Mask crossover when the two of them were going back and forth and fighting. So the mask just turned himself into a gigantic kaiju-sized King Kong, literally trademark King Kong, picked up Lobo in his hand and ate him. He likes to eat people is what I am trying to say. And I don't know what happens when they get inside there, but it has got to be very, very scary and very, very intense. And using his Toon Force and reality warping, he can summon transportation at will. I know that Batman can create things made out of Lego bricks, but remember, they're just made out of Lego bricks and can be easily disassembled by anybody who's seen Legos, and you have to assume the mask is aware of what Legos are. But the mask has summoned cars, monster trucks, boats, flying boats, a team of balloons, a rocket, a submarine, a tank, and a flying broom, to just name a few of them. There are more, but he doesn't even need to worry about that. Much like in the Scooby-Doo episode of this show, which I'm deeply trying to get redemption for today, the mask is trying. What the mask can do is he can do the little thing where, you know, Scooby-Doo goes off the right side door and comes out the left side door and then comes out the front side door. In a battle, he literally kept teleporting around the battlefield behind people, and then he'd run off to the left and suddenly he'd be there on the right. He could just do that naturally to surprise people night and day. And I love Batman, but you keep popping up behind him over and over again, you're going to get some shots in, and it's not going to take too many to knock him around. Also, I kind to notice this, the mask has his own form of slasher portation, like a Michael Myers, like a Jason Voorhees, in that you're running from him, he lets you go, and then poof, he's in the trash can behind you. One time he popped his head out of a toilet because the guy was like hiding in the bathroom. That's what he's doing right here. Scary stuff. I've also seen the mask burrow himself into the ground like a cartoon mole, just because he wanted to. He can also conjure weapons, not just vehicles, weapons, out of nowhere. A couple examples are, he was just sitting there with a suit, and he reaches into his suit jacket and pulls out like a 7-foot battle axe. And the people around him were like, we gotta go right now. A person does that in front of you, you stop messing around and you get out of combat right away. Another thing is, he just has to imagine it, like a Green Lantern construct. He just imagined these two giant, like, I can only explain to them that they are like orc mega shooters from Warhammer 40,000. He pulled out two of these giant, hobbled together blaster weapons with all these different barrels and gadgets on them, and he's just blowing away like giant pieces of earth with them. And he can just choose to bring these out whenever he wants to. But he does more than that. He once conjured a disco ball to drop from the ceiling, and it blinded everybody with like super, super bright light. You can't be prepared for what he's going to do. And who needs preparation? Every version of Batman. Let's keep it real. One time, he got himself to be like 10, 20 stories high. He just decided he's gonna be that high. He pulled out a giant chainsaw, dressed like a lumberjack, and cut down a skyscraper with a giant chainsaw. Let's talk about reality warping. He's turned a balloon animal into a Tommy gun. He just waved his hands and it became what he could shoot people with. He once stopped himself from falling to the earth by doing the Ernest Goes to Christmas air brakes. He just went with his legs and then stopped before he landed on top of a car, got in the car and just drove away. I've seen him impaled by two like samurai swords. And he turned the samurai swords into rocket launchers, which shot rockets behind him at the people that where he was fighting and flew him off into the air. I've seen him throw a bowling ball. The bowling ball turned into molasses, covering all of his enemies with sticky molasses. And then he conjured a nest of killer bees to sick on them. And at that point, he said, "What am I even doing?" It was an amazing fourth wall moment. Another crazy thing. He cut Lobo's head off. He beat Lobo down till there was only a head laying on the ground. He then grabbed a funnel, shoved it in Lobo's mouth, grabbed all of the talk balloons from the comics around him of Lobo's phrases that were mean, and he literally made Lobo eat his own words and then kicked the head into another zip code. He once got hit so hard that only his bloody boots were left against Lobo, and then mini versions of him, like it was Army of Darkness in the windmill, mini versions of the mask came out of the boots and just attacked Lobo and gave him everything that he could handle. Look, I'm talking about over-the-top violence, where Lego Batman will not go there, but the mask will. I could believe Batman's going to be blown into a lot of Lego bricks. They don't call them Legos, they're Lego bricks. Because at the end of the day, this is a battle of Lego Force versus Toon Force. And Lego Force, while toony in its own way, is limited to the physics of the Lego universe, whereas generic Toon Force is not. And that is a major thing separating these two characters. And that's my overly long point number three.
It was a good point number three, though. You know, I got to give kudos to Ray. It was a good point number three. All right, well, here's the thing. In terms of shape-shifting and all that kind of good stuff, Peter's going to figure it out. And again, Batman's great at shape-shifting, or at least changing the sky, whatever it is that's happening. You know, if the mask tries to teleport or do all that kind of cool stuff, Peter's got eyes everywhere. He's tied into Gotham City, into satellites, anything, any direction that the mask is going to come from, Peter's going to tell Batman, hey, there it is, and alert him, and right away he's going to be able to deal with it. Remember, Batman's someone who takes on, what is it, 44 supervillains at the same time, shooting at him from every direction, attacking from high and from below, and he makes a miss at all times because he's that good. Look, the mask can summon boats, rockets, submarines, a tank. Sounds like he can summon all the stuff that Batman already has he can summon as well. I love it. Nothing surprises him. Let's see. On top of all of this, Batman, you know, he's got this cool kind of, I don't want to call it Toon Force, but he can reach into his, you know, behind him, I guess, into his utility belt and pull out these massive weapons that have no business fitting there. There's no way physics would explain it. It's got to be something else going on. Could be Lego Force, I don't know. And he just pulls out these massive weapons that he can use whenever he wants. There's a lot that Batman can do that can counter a lot of what the mask can do. But let's get down to specifics. For my point number three, let's talk about the mask's weakness. There's one weakness he has that Batman can take advantage of. Let's talk about Lego power, a secret weapon that Batman has. And something else that Batman has that is even more powerful than Toon Force. Yeah, I said it. Okay, so the mask and its wearer, evidently, look, they got incredible power. They can do crazy cool things. But there's one thing that the mask doesn't protect the wearer against, and that's exhaustion. Let me explain. In the comic book, the mask strikes back. It's a young man named, I guess, Rick, and he wears the mask and becomes involved in this big brawl. It goes on for quite some time, and there's a relentless pace for this fight, the constant need to use the mask powers, and all this starts to take a toll on him, and the physical and mental exhaustion make him really sluggish, less alert, which leads his enemies to be able to capitalize on his weakness and hurt him, and I believe even capture the mask. So, Ray, I do agree with you. If the mask is fresh and right there to go, good luck capturing him, but after a while, if it's exerting power and doing what it's having, we have proof in this comic book that the mask and the wearer are going to get tired and it's going to, you know, mess with his power and all that. And eventually, with a relentless attack, especially the kind Batman can do, you know, for like 4 minutes at a time, high pace, whatever, the mask is going to get tired out. There's a chance Batman could capture him at that point. Now, on top of that, let's talk about the power of Lego, or Lego power, whatever you want to call it. It's extremely comparable to Toon Force. Now, with the power of Lego, you can do whatever you can with Toon Force, maybe even better. For example, there's Batman, who's bridge building on the fly. Imagine you're falling through the air, need to get across a huge gap. What do? If you're Lego Batman, you somehow build a bridge right there in midair, and not just any bridge, but a bridge that is super long, super sturdy, and built super fast. In a particularly creative scene, Batman needs to break into Arkham Asylum to prevent a villainous plot by the Joker, and instead of using, I don't know, walking through the door, sneaking in ninja style, No. He constructs a catapult out of Lego right then and there, and then he launches himself and propels himself over the walls into the asylum and lands perfectly. That was really weird, but I loved it. During the climax of the movie, when all hope seems lost, Batman finds himself needing a massive amount of firepower to combat the Joker's latest scheme. What does Batman do? On the spot, he builds a giant Lego Bat Gadget combining multiple smaller gadgets and all the vehicles into one mega device. Don't know how that works. He did that in a second, and there you go. It's not like he's like, I'll take that. It just, and there he goes. Tornado of activity, and he's got it. This power of Lego gives Batman that constant access to a weapon he's going to have on him at all times. Remember, during the movie, he stole, or I should say acquired, the Phantom Zone projector from the Fortress of Solitude. And, you know, this is where, you know, in the final mega battle, the Phantom Zone projector is used by Batman. He pulls it out of his utility belt. It's massive. He's got it. And they use it to dispatch Sauron from Lord of the Rings, numerous ancient Smiths from The Matrix, King Kong itself, the Kaiju Titan from Clash of the Titans, and even Voldemort. If the Phantom Zone can get rid of Voldemort, Sauron, and those other villains, trust me, it's going to easily do the same to the mass. Remember, you only need 2 minutes where your opponent is incapacitated somehow, especially battlefield removal, to win this battle, and guaranteed it's going to take the mass more than 2 minutes to figure out how to escape the Phantom Zone, if he can even do it at all. Again, Sauron couldn't do it. Voldemort couldn't do it. Is the mass going to be able to do it? Doubt it. But here's the real reason Lego Batman wins. See, just like with the Lego movie before, where it all takes place in a little boy's imagination, it's actually a fact, this is real, that the Lego Batman film is in the same continuity and is also taking place in the same boy's imagination. And just like that little boy imagined Lego Batman winning with all the odds against him, do you really think he let Batman lose to the mask? Benny, do you remember arguing who would win style matches when you were a kid for your favorite hero? And, you know, you're the guy's trying to say against you, no, there's no way they'd win. And you could always come up with a way for your hero to win. Remember doing that as a kid or as a grown man? Now that I do the same thing with Ray every week. Well, what makes you think that this same boy wouldn't do the same thing for Lego Batman against the mask? Again, if he came up with ways for Batman to take out 44 villains at once and beat them, and also be able to take on Sauron, Voldemort, Agent Smith, King Kong, and so many others and still get the win, how would he ever let Lego Batman lose to the mask? That's why Lego Batman wins. That's why the mask loses. That is my point number three.
All right, James. Much like the Atlanta Falcons in the first round of the NFL draft, you're reaching real hard on that one, okay? Because all these battles are fought in a neutral location, which means not in a boy's mind where Batman would clearly be favored. Neutral location. Stop it. And you say Batman, you said to yourself, Batman has these devices and he has these contraptions and vehicles. He has to build them. That's time. The mask doesn't need time. He just pulls it out and it's there. And it's two very different things. And in a case where a fraction of a second might matter in this battle, the mask has the speed edge. Let's face it. Every version of Batman needs prior knowledge. Even here, the Batman of Lego Batman has prior knowledge of everything he's facing. I don't think he would have it here based on the rules of the show. And relying on AI to solve all his problems will make him even slower. You said yourself, the AI can build it in what, 2 seconds? Batman sooner? If he needs to wait for the AI to tell him to do something, he's going to again lose that fraction of a second to win. But let's talk about more important things. The arrogance of Lego Batman. He's susceptible to mind games. Maybe the only Batman who is. Lest we forget, in the Lego movie 2, Queen Whatevera Wanabe convinced him to marry her. Why? Because she said, well, I asked Superman first. And he goes, whoa, right there. I'll marry you. Oh, I'll do the best marrying of you. And he ends up getting himself mind controlled by her to prevent our Momageddon. Amazing. But here's the real thing that's going to happen in this battle. You only need to be stopped for 2 minutes, right? So the mask and Batman are going to go back and forth, and they're going to have gadgets and vehicles and contraptions, and it'd be a sight I would love to see, as neither one can quite get the edge at first. And that's when Batman is going to come in and dive in and take his shot. And what does the mask pull out but a gigantic from his jacket? He pulls out a gigantic tube of the Craggle, and he squeezes the Craggle all over Lego Batman, freezing him in place for definitely more than 2 minutes. Remember, it's the one substance that even Lego Batman was terrified of. The mask could conjure it, the mask would conjure it, and he would shut Batman down for a minimum of 2 minutes with the Craggle.
The Craggle. If I had a dollar for every time I used that term, the craggle, I'd have $0. That's a weird thing, not going to lie. All right, listen, Benny, you've heard 3 points for both Ray and myself. It's time for you to make a decision. But before we get to what Benny has to say, let's celebrate the Who Would Win Patron of the Week. Every week we choose one of our amazing members from the Who Would Win Show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
Today we are celebrating the patron simply known by one name. You have many known by one name. You have Prince. You have Cher. You have Madonna, and you have Jacob.
Ooh, Jacob. All right, listen, Jacob sounds a little, I don't know, almost biblical, like almost like insanely powerful. I got someone. Let's have Jacob go up against Dr. Manhattan.
Oh, wow. Dr. Manhattan versus Jacob. So this is not a traditional fight in that Dr. Manhattan could just blow people up with his mind. We saw him single-handedly win the Vietnam War, lest we forget. So Jacob cannot approach this physically. He has to walk up to Dr. Manhattan not as a threat, because as soon as Dr. Manhattan anticipates a threat, Dr. Manhattan is going to blow him up like he was Rorschach in the snow. And Jacob knows this. He's not going to let that happen. So he's going to walk up to Dr. Manhattan and he's just going to say, "Hey, question for you." And Dr. Manhattan says, "I know all, I see all. Why can I not see what's happening in this moment? I feel like I've lived this before, but I can't remember. This is different feeling for me." And he goes, "Yeah, the same thing happened with Ozymandias. Do you remember Ozymandias?" He goes, "Of course I do, but I have no recollection of the future times after Ozymandias." He goes, "That's because I killed you 30 minutes ago. And that's why Dr. Manhattan couldn't see it was coming, because it was the end of his life. Jacob, sight unseen, we don't know how he did it, killed Dr. Manhattan 30 minutes before their confrontation, and Dr. Manhattan poofs into a puff of smoke. Jacob is the winner."
I mean, the only weakness Dr. Manhattan has is his inability to see anything surrounded by tachyon particles, which is exactly what Ray described in this fight. Remember, you too can become a celebrated patron of the week. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and sign up, and you may be featured in an upcoming episode of Who Would Win. Benny, it's time for your decision. Take us through your process. Tell us a story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between Lego Batman and The Mask.
All righty. Well, before I dive into my story, I got to say the neutral location, I agree. It's my mind. This little boy's mind, not that little boy's
That's
mind.
Right. You are that little boy. That's right.
And this mind judges it based off of the facts that were presented today. I love the Kraggle being brought up, but how would the Mask know that the Kraggle is the one thing that would stop the Batman?
So he breaks the fourth wall.
Well, that is extremely valid. He removes himself to watch said movie to learn, but that's too much planning, too much going on. That would be out of 2 minutes, but I love that. So this is what I see happening. I see a meeting. I see Batman immediately knowing the Mask is an issue because he looks far too much like the Joker and like a villain to not be weary right off the bat. They start a little soft exchanging words. Mask goes heavy right away and doesn't play around. He starts throwing random bombs out of his suit jacket and balloon Tommy guns coming out, and Batman's dodging and dipping, and all of a sudden he calls on Pewter to help him conjure up some new items he can put together, whether it be a ray gun or some type of weapon, some kind of special batarang to slow the Mask down. The Mask is getting sick of this real quick, so he expands himself kaiju size like he's done before, and he thinks he's just gonna smush Batman. But as anybody knows, what happens when you step on a Lego? Doesn't feel good. Mask smashes down on Lego Batman, and he's wailing in pain, and he shrinks back down. Batman gets caught up in the moment as he's done before, and the Mask uses that opportunity to do another thing he's done before and bite off the head of the Lego. Because if there's one way we've all removed Legos, it's with our teeth. Whether our parents want it to happen or not, we use our teeth. That's exactly what the Mask does here. He uses his teeth, he bites off his head, and he holds him in his Mask stomach for 2 minutes, containing him, and disassembles Batman. He then transforms himself into Batman and carries on in Lego Gotham as the new Mask Batman hybrid. Mask is the winner. The sheer brutality, I think, is unstoppable. I hate to do it to Lego Batman. He's my boy, but I think the Mask takes him out in this one.
You know, I got to tell you, I disagree, but I love the story. And I do want to see the live or the animated version or the Lego version, whatever version. I want to see the version of this play out. That's interesting. Lego Batman gets the loss. The mask gets the win. Race to Cadence, congratulations. You were on a little bit of a losing streak, but you came back strong. You're back in the winner's circle. Tell the Legion of Audience Heart fan base how you feel.
Not only has the bleeding stopped from you winning, what, three matches in a row, which should never happen on this show at all, but I have gotten redemption for the Michael Myers versus Scooby-Doo matchup all the way back in, what, season one? I think so. Season one. Thank you. I have gotten the redemption I have been seeking for five seasons. I may not need to continue doing the show. I have proven everything that there is to prove. I have named myself the champion, and I have now righted a wrong like I was Scott Bakula in Quantum Leap.
How does this somehow give you redemption? The mask versus Lego Batman in a close battle versus Scooby-Doo obliterating Michael Myers.
Obliterating.
Is this Ray? I guess this is Ray Logic. It's a thing.
Outrageous Toon Force battle, especially after the Mickey Mouse versus Bugs Bunny battle. Also, you should go back and listen. That was a stellar matchup. The wrong decision was made. Oddly enough, also involving teeth. I don't know what it is with Toon Force and teeth, but I will say this is a double redemption matchup for myself, and I deserve it.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. Ray is why we can't have nice things. All right, Benny, listen.
I have a balcony on the second floor of my house. I have one nice thing.
Stacking two boxes on top of each other and cutting out a door on the second box is not a balcony race. Whatever, it's all good. Look, Benny, I got to tell you again, I completely disagree with your decision. Again, a little boy's imagination would never let Lego Batman lose. But with that being said, I loved your logic. I loved your questions. You've absolutely validated yourself, in my mind, as an excellent Who Would Win judge. Please come back on the show another time and, you know, this time give me the decision. Until then, tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you online and all good stuff concerning Sayward.
Yes, guys, you can find me on Instagram at sayword.co. That's sayword.co. We also have a website that we don't use a ton. Instagram is definitely the go-to, where you'll find the newest videos, the newest product, the newest content, where our events are happening, all the news about what we have working with the Who Would Win show, where we do also our Word Wednesday videos, every bi-weekly show. We pay homage. We do a Who Would Win segment. Definitely stay tuned for more Say Word and Who Would Win collaborative posts and content on both TikTok and Instagram. We have a lot of stuff cooking, some really, really exciting projects, both as Say Word and both, you know, with Say Word and Who Would Win together, that I am just stoked to get rolling and to release and to let people start enjoying and getting the word out there to everybody. So thank you guys again for having me on. This has been, I hate to be that person, but I've blazed through all the episodes, you know, like the Bugs and Mickey is iconic, obviously Lobo, Twilight Sparkle, like some of those, my kids and I listen to them in the mornings. They've fully dove in. We've gotten so many customers from the store to fall in love with the podcast as well. And it's just a privilege to be, you know, just another step into this community. So thank you guys again for allowing me to be a part of this.
Look, the honor is all ours. And as long as we can grow by creating associations with amazing companies, amazing people such as yourself, you know, the future looks bright for all of us. I absolutely love it. All right, Race to Cadence, again, congratulations on a win that's much smaller than you actually think it is, but it's still a legit win.
Biggest
it's all good.
Win in the history of this show.
It's all good. And, game on. But until the next episode, tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you online.
One thing that I want to celebrate is our Patreon account. You can go to, what is it, patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. You can sign up for our Patreon without spending any money, and I don't think people know that. You can sign up as a free patron of the account, and every Sunday afternoon, most of the time when our team remembers to do it, we post the next battle that you can comment on and make your feelings known about a full day before it gets revealed to the world. So if you have an interest in the show, you like a little bit of spicy weekend knowledge before everybody else gets, you can go on and every member of the Patreon community, you don't have to be a paid member for it, although you do get the cool videos and whatnot when you are. If you're just on there, you will know in advance and oftentimes get videos that we forget to mark for paid members only. Sometimes, yes, in fact, it does happen. You just gotta love it. So go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and sign up for nothing. And I think you might enjoy it. You like the show, be part of the community, be part of what we do. Also, this is in fact the biggest episode in the history of the Who Would Win show. Ultimate redemption for myself. I have proven anything that was left to prove. I leave it all on the field like I'm the Detroit Lions in every playoff game before the NFC Championship game of 2023. Just piling up dubs, baby. Super Bowl 2024. Let's go.
Go Pack, go. I'm so sorry.
Not familiar with that team.
And I believe the Raiders will also be fielding a team this year.
Allegedly.
I mean, to be fair, they will be packing their bags when we send them home multiple times during the season.
Packing their bags with beautiful uniforms that they get to use in an equally beautiful facility. No
with
offense,
their
Detroit.
New Who Would Win merch right next to their uniforms.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, well played. You can find me on X, a.k.a. Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gavsey. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show. This thing is growing like crazy, by the way. I think we're about to hit 60K members in the next week or so. Make sure you're part of it because it's just a lot of fun. You can also find us on Instagram, that's right, and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Ray Stikinas, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
It's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and loved listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.